Okay, I'm delighted to be joined by comedian Garoge Farley, who has just come back from the UK, where he was supporting Sarah Millican on tour. Lovely to see you, sir.
Lovely to see you.
How are you keeping?
I'm good.
I love Sarah Millican.
Oh, she's brilliant.
Now, I love you, but I love Sarah Millican.
Look, there's no comparison. I'm well aware of that. She's absolutely brilliant. Like, and the show is amazing.
And what was it like being back and doing the tours and being back on stage last week?
It was so strange. It was really weird because I did two kind of shows to ramp up here that were just, they were outdoor shows.
Okay.
It was amazing just to blow the cobwebs off. But I mean, it was just so different to being indoors in massive venues with roofs.
Okay. And what, so, because I can imagine when you go out, you know, there's a palpable sense of nerves for you anyway, for any artist or comedian or whatever going out. But did you feel that sense of nervousness from the audience at all?
Yeah, it was strange.
Or was it just more like, we're out, feckin' delighted?
Yeah, it was a really weird thing because when you get clearance, you kind of go and have like a quiet 2 minutes at the side of the stage where they're still playing music. And then when that music goes off, the lights go down.
Yeah.
And there's normally like a clap and then the show starts. But there was this roar. Everyone was just like, oh my God. Because everyone that's going to shows now in the UK, it's their first gig.
Yes.
So, and they've all survived. It's been 2 years since they've done it.
Yeah.
So the atmosphere was just, it was electric. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I've never felt anything like it.
I was actually chatting to somebody yesterday who was at the Tom Jones gig up in Belfast.
Oh, right.
And she was bricking it because she went up in the train from Dublin to Belfast. There was 5,000 people, I think, at the Tom Jones gig.
Oh, wow.
Now, it was outdoors as far as I know, but she said literally everyone was up in your grill. And she just didn't know how to kind of handle it being in the crowd. Now, she said he gave a mega performance, but she just, you had to sort of, you know, just accept it. Everybody, and she said then that everybody had been checked on the way in and you had to have your vaccination cert. So she said she felt more nervous on the train on the way back because crowds on the train on the way back.
I was demented in the airport. Like, I had a big thing with Dettol wipes. I had a like KN95 mask under my normal mask. It was, that was the hard bit. And it was so funny because in Manchester Airport on the way back, I was wiping down a table and I was very much the only person I think bothered about that sort of stuff because there was a woman at another table that glared at me like I was wiping down a table in January 2020. She was just like, what is your problem?
But come here. So listen, it's great that, as you said, gigs are starting up again. And as I said, musicians, comedians, actors, everyone's had to kind of pivot and during lockdown, come up with different ways of kind of staying sane and keeping busy. Tell us about some of the projects that you've got on the go.
Yeah, well, my lockdown project was I did a bake-along, which seemed like an absolutely brilliant idea at the time, where I baked a cake once a week on Instagram Live.
Yes.
And then a year into that, I was at the doctor and the doctor was like, have you changed your diet? Because you're like, you've put on 2 stone. your cholesterol is essentially just buttercream at this point. So I thought, okay, I need to knock this in the head. But I thought it would be a really good thing to do, like just, you know, keep myself sane, do a few jokes while baking a cake. But it really took its toll.
You're looking great now.
Listen, food poisoning, Catherine. Can't recommend it enough.
And I also was looking at your Zooms that you did with Joanne McNally as well. I mean, we all did the Zoom thing. We all got Zoom fatigue. But you and Joanne managed to keep the entertainment going with your shows.
I have to say that was really down to Joanne because Joanne just did what, you know, she was just an absolute sledgehammer in January and she's like, come on, we're doing a show, we're doing Zoom shows. And I thought, oh God, I don't know, this is not for me. And then once we started, we got into this routine of we'd write 15 minutes each week, we'd try it out in front of, you know, 20 or 30 people. And I just kind of really got the bug back because there was a part of me last year where I thought, oh God, I mean, 2 years off the road, I think I could be done. Like, it could be time to get a job. Well, like, who can afford to lose a year income and then be told, well, maybe next year could be iffy as well.
Yeah.
There was definitely a part of me that thought, okay, you know, need to do something else. But then once we started to do the Zoom shows and then have a gin and tonic afterwards on Zoom, I was like, I'm back. 100%.
And a great way to sort of try out new content and sort of, I suppose, keep every week having something to have to turn up with.
Yeah, exactly. And also, I'm so glad I was sharp because, I mean, it was only when I was going on stage at the first one in the UK and I thought, God, like, it's been a year and a half since I've been on a stage. I mean, the big problem for me was the microphone. It's like, I have to remember to unwrap the mic cord. Something you'd never even think of, but I had to remember to do it because I knew, like, I've done so many gigs before where you pull the mic and go, oh God, I've unwrapped this at the start of the show and they're going to lose confidence.
And when you were on the stage last week in the UK, was it like riding a bike? Did it come back?
Oh yeah, it all came back. Okay. I mean, the things that don't come back is, you know, being like sticking to a schedule and having to be out of a hotel by, you know, 11:50. You know, that sort of thing. And I ended up leaving like my laptop there. I was like, oh my God, Garrod, get it together. You've done this before. But it was brilliant. It was just so amazing. And I can't wait for it to come back here.
Yeah.
Because I think that it's like, I think artists are just waiting to perform.
Yeah. And I mean, that's anytime I'm chatting to anybody here, whether it's a musician or whatever, it's just, it's like, when is it going to happen? And it's that moment of getting back up on stage.
I know. And we've all been locked in the house with our partners for a year.
Yes. Which is was it good to get away?
It was, a week away. It was absolute bliss, I swear to God. Because like, as much as you love each other, I think when you pick somebody to live with, you're up for 3 hours of them a day. And for 2 hours of that, you're watching Netflix. Like, I mean, there was a point where I just thought, if I killed him, I'd be free. As much as I love him. I think, you know, we all love our partners. But I think when it got to the point where we were cutting each other's hair,
yeah,
I thought, no, relationships, we're not supposed to survive this. We're just not.
So did you do the, you actually did the haircutting
thing,
did you?
I'll never forget as long as I live. God. The worst part, I think, of the home haircut was when I was being hoovered afterwards so I could go to bed. Because you forget the gown is a skill that the barber has that you don't have. But
you just don't have. No. Your cat is also very much part of your family, I know.
Yeah, my cat is the light of my life.
What's her name?
My Boots.
Boots.
Yeah, she is just... And I'll be honest with you, I was always a dog person. Like, I never was really into cats. But my boyfriend really, really wanted to get a cat. And we went to the DSPCA and they'd only one kitten that looked like a bit wrecked. And I said to the lady at the DSPCA, was like, what's the story with the kitten? And she said, well, it's got calf flu. It probably won't survive. So I was like, well, straight away, that's the one for us. So we took her home and, oh my God, I'm madly in love with her, but she despises me.
Like, no!
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, that's cats.
Well, cats despise you worship everybody.
You worship them and they just walk over you. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. She's no time for me.
That's what I love about them, though. They're they do their own thing. And
somebody said that you can get a dog or you can get a god. And I think that's the way it works. Like, you just end up worshiping them and they just pay you no heed.
And when the two of you are sitting there, does she go to your, what's your partner's name?
Oh, Darren.
Darren. Does she go to Darren or does she, you know? Or
No, she will play us off each other. Like, she would certainly, she would go to me and then she would glare back at him.
Okay.
You know, a lot of passive aggression going on with cats.
Okay.
You have to respect it.
You have to. I love them. Tell us about the upcoming project that you're doing with the wonderful Niamh Kavanagh, which is out in September.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Myself and Niamh Kavanagh we have been friends for 25 years. She lived around the corner from me back when she was...
It was nothing to do with your baking, a bake-along and her being MasterChef.
No. Niamh is a much better baker than me. But she... Yeah, we lived around the corner from each other for years. So we're doing a podcast together. And when... I know people, the colour drains from people's face when I say that to them, but I always say, look, it could be worse. We could be doing a duets album. So we're doing a podcast called Agony Rants and it'll be starting in September.
Okay.
And it's basically... It's like a whack pack. It's like we're the support group for whoever wants to contact us. So we've done some shout outs on social media and people have got in touch with their stories and then we offer a little bit of support. It's kind of like a dirtier version of Joe Duffy. Basically what it'll be is the destruction of a national treasure. That's what's going to happen. We're going to ruin Niamh's career.
Oh, I love it. And it's called Agony Rants.
It's called Agony Rants. Yeah.
Agony Rants.
To be fair, that's Niamh's idea. She can come up with a good pun.
I like that. That's really good. Okay, talk to me about the Cat Laugh Summer Series. I mentioned it just before the break there. Amazing that it's back because I think, like I said, we're all looking for a bit of a laugh. Everyone wants to kind of get back out. How are they doing it? When is it running? Who's taking part?
Well, it's running from the 15th of August to the 13th of September and it's a couple of gigs a week in Langton's Courtyard. Now, you were talking about pivoting. I think the Cat Labs have done an amazing job because last year they did a podcast festival where it was all streamed online. Like, they're really embracing this and, you know, twisting it so that the Cat Labs does happen.
Mm.
So, yeah, there's a great lineup. There's Deirdre O'Kane, Neil Delamere, Catherine Bohart, Chris Kent. There's loads of great acts. And we're all doing lineup
shows. It's in the courtyard in Langton, so it's outdoors.
Yeah, it's outdoors.
Okay.
There'll be social distancing, there'll be air and there'll be crack.
There'll be air and crack.
Air and crack.
And a few pints. And a few pints. So that's the catlaughs.com where people can get tickets for that. And then your own shows, you must be so excited to be getting back here, you know, in front of the Irish audience again as well.
Yeah, I'm really excited because I had a tour cancelled. So we're going to like put that in for next year. But for the moment, I'll just do a few dotted solo shows around the place. So I'm doing Coughlin's in Cork and DeBarris in Clonakilty.
Oh, I love DeBarris in Clonakilty. Great.
The brown bread. Oh, that's all I'm looking for. Forward to Barrisford gives the brown bread. And yeah, a few other around the place. So
the INEC in Killarney and the Spirit Store in Dundalk as well. So Garóge Farrelly, and a lot of people don't know how to spell Garóge. G-E-A-R-O-I-D.
I tried to get around this when I did the Edinburgh Festival a couple of years ago, and I called the show Garóge Less Travelled.
I know, brilliant.
Which didn't work people were coming to the show and calling it Gayrod Less Travelled, which is a very different show, Catherine. Very different show.
Gayrod, thanks for coming in today.
It's been a pleasure.
Cormac is next on Drive Time. Have a great afternoon, lads, and I'll be back tomorrow.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.